This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
As a small business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Iran shoots down a U.S. drone. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koshenka. It is Thursday, June 20th. Glad you're with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
Iranian military and the country's state-run news agency says the Revolutionary Guard used a surface-to-air missile to take down a drone flying in its airspace.
Senate negotiators have agreed to $4.6 billion in aid for operations at the southern border. It's not clear how House Democrats will respond.
The Fed is holding interest rates steady for now, but hinted after yesterday's meeting that future cuts are possible if the economy doesn't improve.
And the NBA draft is tonight, where teams select their newest players from colleges or overseas. Is it a good draft?
I'd say it's really good for the first three picks. After that, you know, it's kind of a toss-up, and given how much the number four pick may be in play, I think it could get really interesting.
Sports writer Mitch Albom previews the NBA draft in about 20 minutes. The Iranian military says it has shot down a U.S. spy drone. It reportedly happened over the Strait of Hormuz in international airspace. The state-run news agency in Iran said the shooting occurred when the drone entered its airspace in the Hormozgan province in the southern part of the country. A spokesman for the U.S. military's Central Command said no U.S. aircraft were flying over Iran yesterday. Separately, Brian Hook, U.S. Special Representative for Iran, testified before the House Foreign Affairs Committee yesterday.
Iran can either start behaving like a normal country or it can watch its economy crumble. And we are committed to driving up the costs of Iran's violent foreign policy.
Meanwhile, the U.S. has in recent days confirmed an attempt by Iran to shoot down a U.S. drone last week, as well as the successful shooting down of one in Yemen 2 weeks ago by Houthi forces backed by Iran. Senate negotiators have reached agreement on a $4.6 billion spending bill to address the rise in the number of people entering the U.S. at the southern border. House Democrats are still reviewing it and haven't signed on to the deal. The bill cleared the Senate Appropriations Committee yesterday nearly unanimously, and Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell plans to hold a vote on it next week. The Trump administration requested the money more than a month ago. The acting director of Immigration and Customs Enforcement is Mark Morgan.
So what we're going to do is we're going to make sure that we apply the law and we enforce the law across the board. We're not going to exempt a certain demographic. We need to make sure that everybody that has been here in violation of the law has consequences.
Roughly $2.9 billion would be for the Office of Refugee Settlement, which cares for refugee children who come unaccompanied to the U.S. The deal would also fund 30 new teams of immigration judges and provide more than $1 billion for things like facilities and medical care. Well, a push by the Trump administration to deport immigrants who are subject to final removal orders faces immediate legal and logistical hurdles. You'll recall that President Trump said Monday that U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement would begin the process of removing the millions of illegal aliens. What exactly does that involve? We're joined now by Louise Radnovsky, immigration reporter at The Wall Street Journal. Louise, set this up.
The original tweet by the president raised images for both supporters of the president and critics of a mass roundup of potentially millions of people who are in the United States without authorization. An administration official later clarified that the president was talking about a subset of about 1 million people who had final orders of removal. As we lay out in the story, even that is going to be very, very difficult for an agency to do without additional resources. Right now, only about 14,000 of those people are currently in detention, and the remainder are at large. It's just well beyond the capacity of ICE to go and apprehend and then remove those people in large numbers in a short period of time.
Yeah, I didn't realize there was that, what seems to be fine print, right? There are folks who have already received final orders to leave the country. Then there are the pending orders, I guess, right? Not to mention people who just may have neither of those things.
Correct. Pending orders often carry with them certain legal rights, including that a person cannot be removed from the country during the period of time while their appeals are being considered.
Okay.
So that's an obvious legal obstacle. On the logistical obstacle side, for people who do have final removal orders, there are a couple of different issues. One is making travel arrangements for them. That's something that ICE has to do. And obviously that is time-consuming. And the other is locating them for removal. Now, if ICE were to try to begin detaining large numbers of people, it doesn't currently have the capacity to do that as a precursor to removal. And in addition, there remains, as we heard from ICE on Wednesday, no immediate offer of additional resources, no immediate plans to try to change what they're doing. That's how they're explaining this. There's no shift in focus, they told us. No immediate plans, just that the agency is going to continue to do what it's always done.
We're speaking with Louise Radnofsky, immigration reporter at The Wall Street Journal. Her piece is called Trump Administration's Plan to Step Up Deportations Faces Obstacles. One of the other things you pointed out in your story, too, is that even if you find these folks and order them out and make the travel arrangements, the other question is, will their country of origin even take them back, right?
The majority of countries of origin now do take citizens back. It's actually been a priority issue for the Trump administration and for previous administrations, too. There are a handful of countries that the U.S. dubs as recalcitrant that won't take them back. However, the timing of this announcement, the clear focus articulated by the president, including in the same tweet in which he talked about Guatemala and Mexico, is on Central American countries where a surge of families have been coming to the U.S.-Mexico border and seeking asylum. None of those countries are officially considered to be recalcitrant in terms of their willingness to return to take back returned citizens.
Right. Immigrant group advocates have said they'll be out to help, right, with legal assistance, things like that, for people who, get identified?
Yeah, there's certainly concern among immigrant rights advocates at the president's tweet, even as some of those same groups recognize the logistical and legal obstacles to what people might imagine the president is intending to do with this. They are organized. They are in a coalition that is willing, it says, to prepare rapid response teams and legal assistance on the ground across the country.
All right. Even if some of these folks are identified and found, I mean, jails are still full, right? And that's where they have to be while ICE is, for example, putting together their paperwork, collecting documents, and making travel arrangements.
Right. One of the people we spoke to pointed out, it is generally easier for immigration enforcement apparatus to either quickly deport people from the border or from people who are coming directly out of the justice system already. So, you know, apprehensions of people at large followed by removals are resource intensive for a number of reasons.
Thanks, Louise. Louise Radnofsky, immigration reporter at The Wall Street Journal. The administration says data from the National Immigration Courts docket shows a total of nearly 1.1 million people with final removal orders, of whom 14,000 were detained and a million or so who remain at large. By some measures, there are an estimated 8 to 11 million illegals in the U.S. 15 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Supported by Kronos. Kronos knows that hiring and retaining a modern workforce of salaried, hourly, full and part-time workers can be challenging, especially in today's competitive job market. That's why Kronos puts HR, payroll, talent, and time in one place, so HR professionals supporting a blended workforce have all the tools they need to engage and motivate their people every step of the way. Learn more at kronos.com/HRswagger. Kronos, workforce innovation that works.
You're a small business owner, and there's nothing small about what you do. That's why Dell Small Business Technology Advisors give you trusted advice, one-on-one partnership, and tailored tech solutions, like computers with Intel Core processors, servers, storage, networking, plus thousands of top-brand electronics, accessories, and software. No matter your technology needs, Dell is here to help your small business do big things. Call 877-BUY-DELL to speak with an advisor today. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
Hey, thanks for joining us. The Federal Reserve is holding interest rates steady for now, but is strongly suggesting that they could be cut in the months ahead if uncertainty over trade policy continues. That was largely what was expected from the conclusion of yesterday's meeting of Fed officials. U.S. stocks rose toward record highs, meanwhile. The S&P 500 up 8.7 points, just 7-tenths of a percent from its record high in April. The benchmark 10-year Treasury yield fell to its lowest level since November of 2016. Here's Fed Chairman Jerome Powell.
In the weeks since our last meeting, the cross currents have reemerged. Growth indicators from around the world have disappointed on net, raising concerns about the strength of the global economy.
Since Fed officials met last month, escalating trade tensions between the U.S. and China and weaker global growth have raised the risks of a sharper slowdown for the U.S. economy, more than they had anticipated this year. The Fed, by the way, is set to meet next month at the end of July. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning, Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Putin, the commander of Iran's Revolutionary Guard, says the shooting down of a U.S. drone has sent a clear message to the U.S. General Hossein Salami says Iran does not have any intention for war with any country, but it is ready for war. His speech was carried live on Iranian state television today, shortly after U.S. and Iranian officials acknowledged the shooting down of the drone. The guard says it shot down the U.S. drone over Iranian airspace, while U.S. officials say the downing happened over international airspace in the Strait of Hormuz. Former top White House advisor Hope Hicks refused to answer questions related to her time in the White House in a day-long interview with the House Judiciary Committee yesterday. Frustrated Democrats say Hicks and her lawyer rigidly followed White House orders to stay quiet about her time there and said they would be forced to go to court to obtain answers. Congressman Ted Lieu of California.
I'm watching obstruction of justice in action. You have the White House asserting absolute immunity, which is not a thing. It doesn't exist. And you have to ask the question, what are they trying to hide from the American people?
President Trump had directed Hicks not to answer questions related to the time of her service as a senior advisor to the president. A top UN investigator has found credible evidence that warrants further investigation of Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman's involvement in the killing of dissident journalist Jamal Khashoggi. In a report released yesterday that concluded a probe into the killing of Khashoggi inside the Saudi consulate in Istanbul in October, the UN investigator found the government of Saudi Arabia was responsible for the killing. Well, who needed a study to figure this out? Working women put in longer hours on the job last year, spent more time caring for their children, and did more work around the house. They also spent less time relaxing or socializing and less time sleeping. Those results from the annual American Time Use Survey released by the Labor Department hint at the challenges that working women face when juggling parenting obligations. Researchers found that women are giving up sleep, leisure time, exercise, and friendships while increasing their workplace commitments, caring for kids, and organizing households.
You're right. No study needed for that. Thank you, Jen. 23 minutes after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for joining us. On the heels of the NBA championship, the league holds its draft tonight in New York City. A preview from Mitch Albom, author, journalist, and co-host of a podcast called The Sports Reporters from Compass Media Networks. Mitch, is this considered a good draft?
I'd say it's really good for the first three picks. After that, you know, it's kind of a toss-up, and given how much the number four pick may be in play, I think it could get really interesting.
You know what surprised me, and maybe I'm late to the game on some trend here, but I looked at somebody's predicted picks for the first round, and I saw, minus the overseas players who may be a little older, one senior.
Yeah.
I think the kid from University of Washington. The rest, yeah, dominated by freshmen and sophomores.
Freshmen and sophomores. Well, it's gotten to the point now where if you stay in college till your senior year, there's something wrong with you.
Yeah.
And in fact, it's a mark against you. You know, why weren't you able to come out? So I found that, you know, if you look back historically, a lot of the greatest players to come out of college and make it in the pros were guys who stayed for 4 years. Grant Hill just jumps to my mind right away because he was here. And yet that era seems to have passed now. It's you know, Zion Williamson and R.J. Barrett and, you know, Darius Garland and Kobe White. And you know, these are all freshmen. DeAndre Hunter's is a sophomore. Cam Reddish is a sophomore. They're like seasoned. You know, if you can get two seasons out of somebody, good. And listen, this isn't going to change, Gordon. I mean, it's going to move backwards the other way. They're going to be taking kids out of high school very quickly. And so we might as well get used to it. A senior is basically an outcast.
What do you see with the Kevin Durant injury as the impact on this draft?
I think this is, Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson not only got injured, they changed the entire NBA when they got injured. Suddenly there was a rush in Los Angeles to get that Anthony Davis deal done, which has now moved a lot of other players around the board, because they saw an opening. You know, the league, let's face it, if Golden State was perfectly healthy and had won the championship, I don't care who LeBron put on his team with them, they weren't going to beat them. But now, all of a sudden, it's like, hey, it's wide open here. And, maybe Portland gets better. Maybe Houston finally gets its act together. But on the other hand, they weren't able to make it before. And here Los Angeles is trying to make an all-out push, I think, for a third guy to sign with Anthony Davis. And all I can say is that Los Angeles better go on a heavy aerobic training thing, because they only have five guys on their team right now. So there's no substituting. You know, the good news is we got some really great players. The bad news is we don't have anybody behind them. And as we saw with the NBA Finals this year, depth is a lot more important than you think. If you really look at, you know, pure talent, you could argue that pure talent, at least in the starting lineup, Golden State had way more of it. But look who ended up winning, Toronto, with guys like Van Vliet and Serge Ibaka and other people coming off the bench. So I'm not convinced you can just do this with three star starters, but L.A. is.
Thanks, Mitch. Mitch Albom, co-host of the Sports Reporters Podcast from Compass Media. 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Michigan is one of the best places in the country to do business, but you don't have to take our word for it. Take Patty Poppes, president and CEO of Consumers Energy, instead.
All of the innovation that's occurring around robotics, AI, it's happening here in Michigan. We have chemical companies, we have pharmaceutical companies, we have medical device manufacturers. Michigan is a magnet for innovators and dreamers.
Big things are happening in business here. Find out why by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity.
As a small business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show, like us on Facebook, or send us an email, thismorning@compassmedianetworks.com.
Hey, welcome into Thursday, June 20th. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. Iran says it shot down an unmanned drone in its airspace. Senate negotiators reach a deal for $4.6 billion in aid for the Southern Border Patrol. A House subcommittee held a hearing about slavery reparations. A second aide to New Hampshire Democrat Senator Maggie Hassan is facing charges tied to publicly posting the personal info of several Republicans. U.S. women play Sweden in the World Cup today, and why police showed up at an 18-year-old's open house party. That story in about 20 minutes. We're coming to you today from the Dell Studios. Dell is thanking small businesses this month with up to 45% off select computers with Intel Core processors. Call 877-BUY-DELL. To speak with a small business technology advisor today. Facebook has announced plans for a cryptocurrency called Libra. How will it work, and why would Facebook go this route? We're joined now by tech analyst Rob Enderle, principal and founder of the tech advisory firm called the Enderle Group. Rob, what do you make of this?
The issue with cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin, which of course is the oldest and the most famous, is the fact that a lot of people just don't trust them. They were predominantly used for concealed transactions. In other words, for people that wanted to buy stuff that they really weren't supposed to be buying and they didn't want to be tracked back to them. We, of course, had a number of breaches against unbreachable cryptocurrency, which has caused the value to swing massively from hundreds to thousands and back again. So people are having a lot of concern about it. Yet there are positive aspects. In theory, at least, using cryptocurrency can be more secure than using regular currency. You're not really dealing with the government as long as somebody else is backing it. So it is harder to trace, and so you maintain your autonomy. And so Facebook kind of thinks, well, if we do this, people trust us. Of course, I'm not sure how many people trust them after the last election, yeah. But we'll see. But people trust us, certainly trust us more than a brand that they don't know. And then people can use this to buy stuff on Facebook. So we'll have our own money. We'll have our own economic model. We'll have our own store. And as you would expect, the U.S. government is not really on board with this because most governments are not particularly happy with having another currency, whether it's another government's currency or a cryptocurrency, trading over their borders, unless they're somehow involved with it for tax reasons alone, if not for tracking criminal activity. So that's going on. It really comes down to, though, whether you would trust Facebook with money.
What's in it for Facebook?
Well, controlled currency. I mean, the thing is at least initially, the only place you're going to be able to spend this money is on Facebook. And so if you want to buy, advertisers want to sell something to somebody that uses this money, they're going to have to advertise on Facebook. The transaction will have to be contained within the Facebook ecosystem, at least initially. And so Facebook will control them. I'm actually kind of surprised Amazon didn't come up with this first, given that Amazon is a retailer. But for the most part, Amazon's looking to let Facebook plow this particular field. But I do expect we'll see more. If this is successful, we'll certainly see more of these pop up. As I say, cryptocurrencies have been massively speculative. Yeah. So you think you got $100 and suddenly it's $25. Right. You might just say, let's go back to the good old dollar that at least was close to a dollar the week after we got it. And cryptocurrencies don't have the kind of regulation, control, and protections that regular currencies do. So we'll see how it plays out.
We're speaking with tech analyst Rob Enderle, principal and founder of the Enderle Group, and we're talking about Facebook unveiling this cryptocurrency called Libra. You mentioned before too that this type of currency is not traceable, so there's the potential, I guess, for illicit use. Right, I don't know, drug trades or who knows what else.
Well, that would be it. Is the activity, but hard cash is relatively hard to trace as well. It's when you get into the electronic system that you get the tracing. I mean, you can trace the serial numbers, but it's a little iffy. But here the feeling is you're outside of the U.S. banking system, and so if the U.S. wants to research it, at the very least they'd have to get a warrant, go into Facebook systems, and then take a look. But once they got access, Facebook is a U.S. company. Once they got access to Facebook, they probably would be able to get to the transaction. Facebook is not presenting this as a way to do illicit stuff, though. That's not their thing. They want a currency that you can spend, but only spend through Facebook and Facebook's properties, and that pretty much ties you into their ecosystem and locks you into their model. So if it's successful, it turns Facebook effectively into a bank, but it's turning into the bank thing because banks are regulated that the government's probably going to have issues with.
Thanks, Rob. Rob Enderle, principal and founder of the Enderle Group. By the way, the Wall Street Journal says this is among the boldest efforts yet to bring digital currencies into the mainstream. 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. It is Friday Eve. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, we're not done yet telling you about the summer dream jobs available to those who want to take a break from the 9-to-5 grind for a while. The latest comes from Hotels.com, who are looking for a pool hop, whose duties include traveling across the country, quote, researching the most epic pool hotels. Or hotel pools, I guess that would be. The site says the chosen candidate will be paid $10,000 plus travel and lodging expenses to travel to 6 of the most epic hotel pools in the United States and document the experience for the website's visitors. They say the pool hop's gram-worthy photos will be featured on hotels.com and social channels for hotel pool lovers to enjoy as they plan their own pool-inspired getaways. Interested candidates are invited to apply on the posting website by writing 100 words on why they would would be right for the job, as well as authoring a 100-word sample review of their favorite hotel pool. And in case you need more convincing, the pools visited by the Pool Hop are in Hawaii, LA, Colorado Springs, Miami, and New York.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
That's an impressive one.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you pack for that? You like a backpack,
yep.
Really, with your toothbrush and two bathing suits. That's
right, right.
Pretty much all the travel you need.
I would think so. Yeah, that's light traveling.
Oof. Hawaii, LA, yeah. Colorado Springs, Miami, and New York.
Yeah, not a bad way to spend the summer.
That's
sure.
Good living.
Let's do that. And then combine that, perhaps, and I don't know if this would be sort of against the rules, but combine that maybe with that barbecue reviewing job that we talked about last week. And, you know, there is no more perfect summer.
There was a beer tasting one of some kind
I think there was that as well. We need to combine all these together. Forget about the money. Forget about the pay.
Yeah.
Just allow me to travel
right.
expenses and do all this.
That's right.
The eating, the drinking, and the laying by the pool.
I like that. I wonder if you can include that on your resume.
Yeah.
Keep the 10 grand, just cover my expenses.
Yes, that would be nice.
Could you imagine? and only 100 words you got to write.
Right. That's the other thing.
Four sentences.
Yes. We could handle that, right? Right, for sure. And a follow-up to a story we told you about yesterday, Max Scherzer could have a future in hockey based on what's happened to him the last couple of days. You remember we told you that the three-time Cy Young Award winner who pitches for the Washington Nationals accidentally bunted a ball off of his face during batting practice on Tuesday, cutting his face, breaking his nose, and putting his start last night against Philadelphia in doubt. Perhaps hearing Gordon's refrain of "suck it up, buttercup," or more likely because he's one of the more competitive players in all of baseball, Scherzer took the mound last night and dominated, pitching 7 innings, allowing no runs, and striking out 10, all with the aforementioned busted nose and sporting a black eye. Many on social media were quick to point out that the injury helped Scherzer in a way, making him look even more intimidating on the mound than he already did. And some pointed out that Scherzer, who famously already had two different color eyes, was now the first player in history to pitch with three different color eyes, blue, brown, and now black.
That's funny.
Yes.
I think there was little doubt that Scherzer was going to at least go out there and give it a shot
last night. Now, we know not every player in baseball would have made that start, but Scherzer, again, kind of famous for his intensity on the mound and his competitiveness. He yells at managers when they try and take him out of the game, that kind of thing. So, of all the players in baseball for this to happen to, we think he would have been the one to take the mound.
100% of hockey players who suffered this injury
here we go.
Would have been out
there. Yes, we know this.
Well, I don't know. Baseball, 50-60% maybe. That's my guess.
I think you're being generous.
Thanks, Mike. 13 minutes now in front of the hour. Does your furniture bring you joy, or are you just one couch or chair away from saying, "This is my home"? Home should be your haven, a place that's uniquely you. Joybird can turn your ideas into reality with hundreds of styles and options crafted to your unique taste. If you can dream it, Joybird can transform it into quality, handcrafted furniture. Each piece is made with care and precision, using high-quality hardwood and reasonably sourced materials to fit your expectations. Not 100% sure? Our free personal design consultants can help you nail down your perfect design. And with their 365-day home trial, you can skip the furniture store and bring the showroom home. Find your joy today at joybird.com/Gordon. Create the furniture that brings you joy today at joybird.com/Gordon. Go to joybird.com/Gordon and receive an exclusive offer for 25% off your first order today by using the code Gordon at joybird.com. Thanks for spending time with us. Here's some scary stats. About every 2 hours, a child is taken to the emergency room for injuries related to cosmetic and beauty products. Kept inside the home, the Center for Injury Research and Policy at Nationwide Children's Hospital says items like shampoo, lotion, makeup, and nail polish remover seem to pose the biggest threat to kids under 5. Researchers tracked nearly 65,000 such injuries. In a study published Monday in Clinical Pediatrics, researchers reported that most injuries occurred when a child swallowed the product or the product made contact with the child's skin or eyes. According to the study, 28.3% of injuries involved hair care products, with more than half requiring hospitalization. But nail polish remover was the individual product that accounted for the most number of emergency room visits. One of the hazards here is a child's tendency, experts say, to imitate what they see. It's 8 minutes now in front of the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koschenka is here with more of America's First News.
Court and Senate negotiators have agreed on a $4.6 billion spending bill to address the rise in the number of people entering the U.S. at the southern border, advancing a compromise package more than a month after the Trump administration requested the money. $2.9 billion would go toward the care of refugee children who come unaccompanied to the U.S. The deal would also fund new teams of immigration judges and provide more than $1 billion to Customs and Border Protection for facilities and medical care. House Democrats are still reviewing it. The debate over reparations catapulted from the campaign trail to Congress as lawmakers heard impassioned testimony for and against the idea of providing compensation for the country's history of slavery and racial discrimination. Democratic Senator Cory Booker of New Jersey.
Decades of living in a community where you see how deeply unfair this nation is still to so many people.
Republican Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina doesn't think reparations would help.
We're so far removed from the event. It was the original sin of the country, and I think let's just make it a more perfect union rather than looking backward, because I don't know where it stops when you do that.
Yesterday's hearing coincided with Juneteenth, a cultural holiday commemorating the emancipation of enslaved black people in the U.S. According to a new AP poll, we prefer a space program that focuses on potential asteroid impact, scientific research, and using robots to explore the cosmos over sending humans back to the moon or to Mars. The poll cites asteroid and comet monitoring as the number one desired objective for the U.S. space program. At 103, Julia Hawkins has cemented her title as the oldest woman to compete on a U.S. track after finishing the 50 and 100-meter dashes at the National Senior Games in New Mexico. The Louisiana resident already holds the world record for her age group in the 100-meter dash. She didn't beat her previous best Tuesday, but crossed the line in just over 46 seconds. She says a combination of things keep her going, including yard work and the challenges of competition. By the way, Julia's nickname is Hurricane Hawkins.
That's excellent. 103 years old, and she's running 50 and 100-yard dashes.
Yeah.
That is unbelievable. Thank you, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. First thing you think of when you hear that cops have shown up at an open house party for an 18-year-old usually isn't good, right? However, ABC 12 Television in Flint, Michigan says that wasn't the case for a graduating student at Midland High School named Micah Schieber. His father, Chad, a former Midland police officer, died while running the Chicago Marathon in 2007. He had an undetected heart condition. Micah, who was just six when his father died, asked his mother to invite the Midland Police Department to his graduation party. One by one, the cars kept rolling up to the house. A family member captured the tribute, posted it on YouTube. One after one, Micah shook the hand of each cop. A total of 18 officers came to his party, many of whom worked with his dad. They brought a trading card featuring his father and also gave him $111. The number 111 was Chad Schieber's badge number. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. As a small business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.